Hello and welcome to the Village Celebration. Pine Bluff, Arkansas, a city of about 50,000 in Arkansas in the Delta region. It's a town that is home to the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff and HBCU. And lately it's had a number of challenges in terms of crime and jobs. But with an African-American female mayor in office, the city is burnishing its reputation and looking to once again be known as the Black Paradise of the South. Joining us to talk about the history of Pine Bluff is historian Lori Walker. Lori, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Vicki.
You know, many people who are familiar with Pine Bluff and those who are not, if they did a Google search, they may be a little bit surprised to know that this city was once known as the Black Paradise of the South. Tell us more about this Pine Bluff of yesteryear.
Sure. Well, the actual title, of course, was in 1891 when people still referred to African Americans as Negroes, and so it was the Negro Paradise of the South. And it was dubbed that in actually an article that was published in the Freeman, which was a nationally distributed publication, African American publication. And it was written by a man who had visited Pine Bluff from Mississippi. And in his article, he talked about how he had heard a great deal about Pine Bluff while still residing in Mississippi, about the great, quote, inducements held out to the colored and the privileges they enjoyed. And he said it naturally aroused his curiosity to see the Negro Paradise of the South. But when he got here, he realized that half of the story had not even been told.
Really? It was right. Better than he heard?
Better than he had heard. He talked about how he saw African-Americans owning almost every business that his brother in white was. He talked about the black elected officials, the black professionals, including a black doctor, a black pharmacist, and four black lawyers, one of whom was a gentleman named John Gray Lucas, who was, of course, a Branch Normal graduate and was a student at Boston University in 1886 when he also made a public declaration about Pine Bluff, and I can share that with you later. But yeah, this person in this article, he talked about Branch Normal College. He talked about the churches that were here, and he mentioned several names of wealthy citizens in his article as well. So he gave Pine Bluff a lot of good publicity.
As we would say today, a real shout-out. But Branch Normal, he mentioned, which, of course, today is the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, formerly known as AM&N, and then prior to that, Branch Normal. Several weeks ago, the university celebrated its Founders Day, and you joined the festivities and provided some background. Tell us a little bit about how UAPB began and how it was instrumental in securing that title as Negro Paradise of the South for Pine Bluff.
Well, one thing I mentioned during that speech was that the history of Pine Bluff and the history of the university are codependent. I mean, they have a symbiotic relationship. So, for instance, when the university, as we know it, of course, established its Branch Normal in 1873, took a couple of years to open because of some other things going on in the state. But for the most part, when it did open, it became one of the African-American institutions that helps prepare students for their chosen paths. The African-American population in Pine Bluff actually grew significantly. If you compare the population in 1870 to that in 1890, you would see a 600% increase in population, African-American population, which far exceeded the statewide rate of 200% during that same time period. So,
and what happened that more African-Americans were moving to Pine Bluff? This was a time of Reconstruction, so there had to be some great energy among the newly freed slaves.
Oh, absolutely. When you think about what was happening at other places in the South, you know, there are records of a migration. You know, we talk about the Great Migration that happened in the 20th century, but there are records that talk about migration of African Americans to the North beginning in the 1870s. Whereas you see, of course, here, people, Pine Bluff was not experiencing that. Arkansas as a whole was not experiencing that as well. But in Pine Bluff, particularly, when I talk about John Gray Lucas, his comments that were, he was interviewed by the Boston Globe. And so, because of that interview, we have this firsthand account of what Pine Bluff was like from the eyes of a young African American male. Okay. He said that a very liberal, quote, quote, public sentiment prevailed in Pine Bluff, and there were no hindrances met with anywhere, that there was neither distinction or separation by race, and blacks and whites rode together in public transportation, basically in streetcars. And he talked about how, of course, an African American owned the streetcar line, which was Wiley Jones. But he also said he didn't understand why more colored men from the North did not come and make Arkansas their home, because it was this wide and inviting place for them to make something of themselves. And of course, his vantage point was from Pine Bluff, because that's where he actually grew up. And
And
it's an
then Booker T.
interesting
Washington also spoke highly of Pine Bluff. Tell us how he came to know of the city.
Right. Now, Booker T. Washington visited Pine Bluff in 1905, and he actually visited other cities in Arkansas as well. And in his book called The Negro in Business, Booker T. Washington wrote that out of all his travels to Arkansas and the territories, he had made the acquaintance with none other community like Pine Bluff, where there seemed to be more real and substantial progress. So he would witness the conditions in Pine Bluff, and wrote about some of them in his book. He talked about how the people in Pine Bluff boasted that so many African Americans own their homes here, as opposed to maybe some other communities in the South. He also talked about the black-owned bank. Pine Bluff had the first black-owned bank in the state. It was Unity Bank and Trust, which operated out of the Masonic Temple, but it was actually founded in 1902. Now, Little Rock opened one a year later, Capital City Savings in 1903. But the Pine Bluff blank, bank, I'm sorry, had actually more money in it than the Little Rock Bank at the time that it opened.
You know,
Go
I
ahead.
just find this so exciting and illuminating because fast forward a number of years past the 20th century into the 21st century, and the city has had some struggles that have not exactly been secret. There's a high crime rate, a lot of joblessness, and if you question some, they might even say hopelessness. What happened?
Well, first of all, let me address the crime rate issue. I mean, we have been losing population, and if everybody knows that the crime rate is a function of population. So if your population is decreasing, even if your crime rate never changed, all right, and your population decreases, it's going to always look like it's growing. It's going to always look inflated. And so we, I always talk about how, we get data whipped most of the time. We're looking at numbers and things like
Because
that.
you also work for the city, I should point that out.
I do work for the city, and again, I mean, the things that we experience in Pine Bluff are no different from any community that you would encounter. It's just that, our numbers tend to get inflated. Matter of fact, as I think it's Forbes.com or one of these sites, they don't include cities of a certain size because it's going to always look like it's inflated, the numbers when they do these kinds of statistical analyses. But I just wanted to put a point of clarification that people who live in Pine Bluff would not necessarily say that the data really reflects the actual experience in Pine Bluff. So that's my assessment of that.
So there has been a declining population, and some would say more attention placed on the crime rate. But there's also a revival, I think, among some citizens, and perhaps it began when Mayor Washington was elected, and then the campaign called Go Forward Pine Bluff. All of that suggests there is a tide turning or a new era, if you will. And as a member of the city and as a historian, I mean, I should say as an employee of the city in the planning department, what is on the horizon for Pine Bluff?
Well, actually, Pine Bluff has been making some significant investments for many, many years. And you can see that, you can really see it when you drive closer to the lake, Lake Saracen. You'll see things that have come online since 2007. We built the Lake Saracen Pavilion, the Lake Saracen Trail, the Splash Park. There's a new playground there. It's an all-inclusive playground, so that means persons with disabilities can play with persons without disabilities. And so these children with, you know, with disabilities. So we've been making investments, the investments on University Drive with the lighting and the infrastructure there. And so, of course, we have projects that have been in the pipeline for many years. And a lot of people don't understand community development is not an instant gratification, you know, field by any means. It's something that has years of planning. Sometimes there are extended fundraising cycles where you're trying to secure grants and other resources to do big infrastructure projects. And so the revival is not new. It just may have caught a new light or a new intent, you know, new attention with some of the things that have come online recently. But this has been a work in progress, and it's something that you know, people who are on the inside, things don't happen as quickly as we would all like for them to. But we keep track of it. We know what has changed and what's been happening in the community. So I'm excited for where we're going, because I think that there is a new momentum building in Pine Bluff. And again, downtown property owners have been investing for a few years now in helping to bring some of their buildings up to code, and also new businesses. There's a new salon downtown. I don't know if I can mention names particularly, but there's a new salon and a restaurant that and a bar that has located downtown, and we have a new coffee shop that is open downtown. Of course, we have a cupcake shop that has like 90 different varieties of cupcakes. And so all of this is part of this revival. You know, this is something that people may not see necessarily. You know, if you're not looking for things, you won't find them. You know, the Bible tells us to seek, right, and you shall find. So if you're seeking for what's different in Pine Bluff, what's changing in Pine Bluff, you'll always find something, I can tell you.
So let's talk about that in particular. If you are outside of Pine Bluff and you're seeking something new and exciting in Pine Bluff, or you want to join and pitch in with this new momentum, how can you do that?
Well, if you have, if you're outside of Pine Bluff and you have property here, and you're not sure if you're going to, you know, do anything with it, of course, by all means, put it up for sale, because there's possibly somebody who is looking for just something like that as an opportunity to come in and contribute. We have people who come here all the time, former residents, former students, all interested in wanting to contribute to the revitalization of Pine Bluff. And so, you know, if you're one of those individuals and you want to know how you can get connected, by all means, please call. You can call our office at 870-543-1820. Or, of course, you can always reach out to the mayor's office at 870-730-2000, extension 7. So there are always opportunities to connect in with Pine Bluff. It's just a matter of what your interests are and what your passions are. So.
A few weeks ago, the village covered the unveiling of the plan for the new Pine Bluff Library, which is impressive and set to open, I believe, is it 2019 or 2020?
2020.
Mm-hmm. 2020. That's a great anchor for the downtown revitalization. And then there's the Go Forward campaign. Are you all seeing people joining that effort?
The Go Forward does have a lot of momentum. I think people have high expectations because of the plans that they rolled out, which, of course, you know, align with the things that we already had planned here in so many ways. And so, therefore, I'm hoping that we have you know, we start to see some of those things come online as well. So,
you know, when we hear about the past that Pine Bluff enjoyed, those who are fans and supporters of the city, I'm sure, would love to see it happen again. What do you think it would take, and how much of recreating that Black paradise of the South calls for evaluating a lot of the negative stereotypes attached to the city?
Well, I'm going to tell you that I think it has absolutely nothing to do with the stereotypes of the city. If you want to change a city, you know, cities are made up of citizens, they're made up of people. And it really doesn't matter like how many projects you do. You build a city by building the people. And so each individual person needs to understand that they have a role in making Pine Bluff the place that it can be, not necessarily what it was, because, you know, of course, you know, we're hoping that we'll be better than what we were, you know, better than what we were. And so if you look at it from the perspective of what do I contribute, what do I bring to the table? When I pursue my passion, whatever that is, and I choose to work in an area, I'm contributing, especially if I'm, you know, of course, earning an income, I'm contributing to the local economy when I buy at local businesses, when I improve my house, you know, when I if I take a house and I remodel it and I, you know, I'm helping to build a neighborhood. I mean, you just need to look at it from an individual contribution perspective, is that you are contributing, you know. Mm-hmm. When you volunteer at a public school, you're doing that. You're helping to invest in this next generation of people. So there are always opportunities like that.
Mm-hmm. Well said. So if you want to spread the good news about Pine Bluff, get involved in the city, and then you will have something with which to write about, like John Lucas did way back, or Booker T. Washington. And it would be great for people to come to Pine Bluff and find that it is better than they had even heard. Lori Walker, Pine Bluff historian, thank you for joining us.